This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And the theme of this week's programme is insects. In fact, the title of the programme is Insecticide, possibly in response to the dwindling bee population and the imminent demise of humanity. But also inspired by a book which I received recently by about an artist called Tomas Saracinio. The book is called Arachnid Orchestra Jam Sessions. And before you run to the phone and phone the station, yes, I know spiders are not insects. They are apparently arachnids. But for the purposes of today's programme, we'll sort of just lump them together. So the book comes with a USB with various tracks on it called sort of Arachnid Orchestra Jam Sessions. And from the introduction, in a study that explores the archaeology of non-human media, Jussi Parikka encourages readers of entomology publications to approach them as media books. Such a reading will disclose a whole new world of sensations, perceptions, movements, stratagems and patterns of organisation that work much beyond the confines of the human world. In current times, spiders are not considered part of what historically the broader term insect and the discipline of entomology encompassed. The largest order in the class of arachnids, spiders are the subject of arachnology. Yet Parikka's description is highly relevant as it captures the lived experience of Tomas Saracinio's Arachnid Orchestra Jam Sessions, which was an exhibition at the NTU Centre for Contemporary Art in Singapore in 2015. And for the first time in an exhibition setup, spiders performed live with humans. An experimental orchestra between arachnids and anthropos. This project was predicated on the possibilities of interspecies communication. So, together with the artist and his committed studio team, they embarked on a journey that gathered throughout its process a range of different practitioners, arachnologists, musicians, sound engineers whose knowledge and support made the experiment possible. Multidisciplinary collaboration is an ongoing feature of Saracinio's work and a tool for complex productions that defy reductionist dichotomies between different forms of knowledge. The Arachnid Orchestra Jam Sessions expanded Saracinio's long-term explorations of the spider web into the realm of the sonic. Spiders perceive the reality around them through pressure of vibrations that are transmitted along the threads of the web from movements of bodies within the web or specific interactions with the web, such as web plucking. This renders a cobweb a sensory object, making it an extension of an invertebrate's body. Such mode of communication is not perceivable to human ears and has reached a high degree of versatility amongst arachnids, serving different purposes that punctuate the spider's life, seduction, hunting, or social interaction. And so on. So it's, and then we, there is a 5-minute piece at the end by Brian Masumi, which is a manifesto of animal politics. which we will play later. But first, I'm going to play a fairly lengthy track from this book catalogue USB composite object published in 2015. And this one is one of the jam sessions, which has some sort of Latin name of a spider, which I cannot get my head around. Anyway, so we'll just play this track first of all from the USB Arachnid Orchestra Jam Sessions.
Arguments about impossibility have a rather doomed character from the very start. To say impossible is to project a future where outcomes are already closed. To make the future a project that has already been completed in the present. Skeptics that we are, saying impossibility doesn't get us very far. There are, indeed, songs to sing beyond mankind. Of course, there are songs to sing beyond mankind. We know enough to know that there's nothing new in saying so. But to say that anything is possible, even all of this might be just as doomed. Doomed because curiosity is the interminable human condition. Doomed because curiosity is interminable. Doomed because even Spinoza loved to watch the combat of spiders, arranging them in a little arena to witness their confrontation, the pleasures of the observer. But if survival is a spectacle, then the performance is all. I thought we were going to leave them be this time.
You said?
You said.
I said.
You said, and we both said, that this time we were just going to leave them be. We weren't going to try to force them this time.
Didn't we say that we would just let them be this time?
I thought at least we had agreed that we would just let them be this time.
We said, we have said.
We agreed.
Well, you talked about the lost anthropologist of the empire. Don't you remember?
I remember. I remember we agreed.
I mean, we had even agreed on it.
I thought we agreed on it again.
Well, we're going to leave them alone.
We agreed that we would leave them alone, and here we go again. He just wanted to walk. The Estonian man who just wanted to walk. He didn't want to invent some new science or produce some new form of knowledge or impress upon living things some new classification for their ordering. He just wanted to walk. He just wanted to walk a modest and careful walk. He wanted to walk away from the mechanistic, physiological way that we treated living beings. He wanted to walk towards something else, towards a biological view of other living creatures, to a biosemiotics of other living creatures, with their own language, speaking on their own terms, understanding each other in their own worlds, life worlds, worlds of life, or what he called umwelts, umwelts. But could umwelts slowly become cages? Jakob von Uxkull was so excited when he walked into the worlds of other creatures. He didn't start to worry that his umwelts could become cages, that worlds could be closed, that experiments could begin, that observation would become modification, and modification would become emendation. But could emendation become even extinction? According to a study in the July 2015 issue of the Quarterly Research Highlights of Biotechnology and Biological Sciences Research Council of the United Kingdom, the nearly 20-year-old model for spider ballooning which had, until this report, assumed that spider silk is a rigid and straight affair and that spiders just hang at the bottom of it. This model was fundamentally flawed when applied in moving, turbulent air. Researchers redesigned a model to allow for elasticity and flexibility in the spider's drag line, its most sturdy line of silk used for moving about and snagging prey. When the drag line is caught in a turbulent breeze, it becomes highly contorted, catching air like an open parachute and sending the spider on an unknown journey. The new model helps to illustrate how spiders, quote unquote, fly. But there is still much room for refinement, according to the study. The research team now plans to observe spiders in turbulent airflow inside wind tunnels to further improve the model. Better understanding how spiders travel along distances could help scientists control pests. According to the research, spiders are key predators of insects and can alleviate the need to spray large quantities of pesticides. However, spiders can only perform this function for their human counterparts if they arrive at the right time. Researchers believe that with a new mathematical model, they can begin to examine how human activity can better affect the dispersal of spider populations.
Hey, I thought we were going to have to leave them alone.
I thought this time we were at least going to leave them alone.
Yeah, we said, and we even agreed on it.
You agreed on it, and I agreed on it, and this time we were going to let them be.
Right, you said that we would stop trying to force it.
We didn't need to try to force it because they were going to participate.
Yeah, didn't we say that we would just let them be this time?
We could just let them be, and we agreed that there was no need to force it.
We agreed on it to leave them alone. Don't you remember?
Don't you remember?
Well, I mean, we had even agreed on it.
You talked about the anthropologists of the empire, and you don't remember.
Mm. Oh, but here we go again.
Jean Genet distinguishes violence and brutality. Life is violence. All life is violence. But brutality is a specifically human comportment to life. A foreclosure of life, a refusal of the violence that is life. Can the experiment, that temporal reduction and technological extension of all of our senses, which we call experimentality, be distinguished from this brutality? Our human senses don't get us very far. The naked human eye sees only a small band of visible light within the electromagnetic spectrum, consisting of light waves from 400 to 700 nanometers. But our feeble senses don't stop us. We augment and extend ourselves and modify our senses to see into and hear into the life worlds, the umwelts of others. Our infrared cameras and our X-ray telescopes, the tools of a voyeuristic multi-species paparazzi we call humanity. Many of the pollinating insects upon which this humanity depends detect flowering plants through signs invisible to those who can't see ultraviolet radiation, while snakes can read infrared radiation far too subtle for any human to notice. But we don't just need to talk about insects or reptiles. Bats determine the size, location, density, and movement of their prey hundreds of feet away in the pitch black, using sonar, emitting through their mouths and nostrils ultrasound vibrating at frequencies of some 100,000 cycles per second. Dolphins can echolocate with the sound of their clicks. Humpback whales sing songs to each other that completely change and evolve over periods of years, using many of the same rules that human composers do. Does the experiment emancipate or destroy? Can brutality be distinguished from experimentality? Our Sir Francis Bacon, the tireless advocate of the modern scientific method, was brutally honest about the cost of knowledge. He said, "Nature is a bitch who must be tortured for her secrets." So what I wanted to say is that she always had the feeling that it was very, very dangerous to be alive for even one day. Enthusiasm is torrential. If you're not careful, it'll carry you to some faraway frontier. Arrive there to conquer, but you won't have any reason why. And what are you going to do once you get there? And whose song are you going to be singing? So to clarify, she always had the feeling that it was very, very dangerous to live for even one day. Enthusiasm was torrential. If you weren't careful, you'd get carried away and arrive at some frontier ready to conquer without having any reason at all. And whose song are you going to sing then? So Spinoza, the prince of philosophy who I mentioned before, who avoided all forms of sadness, who banished sadness from his thought, including aversion, mockery, fear, despair, pity, indignation, envy, humility, repentance, regret, anger, vengeance, cruelty, hatred, sadness, self-abasement, and even shame. Even Spinoza didn't rule out spider fights. If survival is spectacle, the performance is all. You see, she always had the feeling that it was very, very dangerous to live even one day. Enthusiasm is torrential. If you're not careful, it'll carry you away, and you'll end up on some frontier ready to conquer, without even knowing how you got there. Whose song are you going to sing then?
You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And that was the longest track, in fact, by Thomas Saraceno from Arachnid Orchestra Jam Sessions, published by NTU Singapore in 2016. And the performers, it lists various people, but also the names of various spiders, some of which I presume are fictitious, one being Heteropoda David Bowie, and Certophora citricola, Brian Masumi, David Rothenberg, Etienne Turpin, etc. Anyway, so that's the longest track from this book catalogue, which comes with a USB, very well illustrated. It has to be said, with sort of installations of sort of web-like constructions. I have to say, very few images of spiders, who are supposedly the stars of the show. But anyway, I don't want to be nitpicking. So We've got time. I can play one more track off this USB, which is a shorter track, a Manifesto for Animal Politics, written and read by Brian Masumi.
Where all of the characteristics of the decor were simultaneously deformed. Color, size, figure ground. It is as if the desire of the baby gull was spontaneously improvising on its instinctive perception. As if the movement of instinct tended naturally to surpass what was naturally given. And this surpassing of the natural bore on a field of relation, an integrally linked, mutual deformation of all that is normally given to instinct. Instinct, the gulls say, has an inborn tendency to surpass what is normally given, and to do so relationally, which is to say compositionally. Improvisation, composition, is this not art? Is this not creativity? A supernormal tendency to surpass the given. Unnatural participation in nature. Is this not what animality is all about? Assume your animality. Have no fear of instinct. Learn from the worms. It is a necessity of the life of the worm to plug its burrow. If worms, observed Darwin, acted solely through instinct in the sense of an unvarying inherited impulse, they would all plug their burrows in the same manner. On the contrary, we see an individual profiting from its individual experience to improvise a solution that is adapted not to the generality of the situation but to its singularity. This capacity, Darwin remarks, shows evidence of mental power, a power of abstraction. Even the earthworm instinctively surpasses the given. Even the brainless have a passion for the supernormal, for creative improvisation adapted to what is singular in the world, in defiance of its standardized parameters. Have no fear of instinct. It allies you to the mental prowess of the worm. It is through instinct's native power of abstraction that variation in nature is positively produced. The supernormal tendency is the motor of creative evolution. Adaptation and the chance variation of mutation are merely the motor of adaptive evolution, submission to the given. Find in the human the supernormal passion of the animal. Induce human being to recur to its creative animal becoming. Take it to heart. Animal becoming is most human. It is in becoming animal that the human recurs to what is non-human at the heart of what moves it. This makes it surpassingly human, creatively, relationally, more than human. Creative, relational, deformational, self-surpassing. Improvise on that. Put that into art. Put that into writing. Especially put that into politics. Put yourself on a continuum with your fellow creatures, brained and brainless, those that take wing and those that burrow into the earth, the feathered and the slime slipping. Assume your animal self-surpassing. Express your animal more than humanness. Aspire to what the gull did. Confound those who purport to know better, so that they may mutter more often in more circumstances. So far, no one has quite been able to analyze such matters, yet somehow they are accomplished.
Yeah, well, that's Brian Masumi and his Manifesto for Animal Politics, which is the epilogue to the Arachnid Orchestra jam sessions. So I'm now going to proceed with several insect-inspired choices. First of all, a cassette recording that I made in Provence about 20 years ago in long grass trying to record crickets and with headphones on. And it was quite startling when suddenly I realised that, in fact, one cricket had literally settled on the microphone and created an electronic sound which you might think, it sounds almost like radio interference or electrostatic. But okay, we'll play that and then we'll move on into a track, Four Butterflies, created by Morton Subotnick. A track from Creemaster 2, the film by Matthew Barney, which apparently, according to the notes, employs 200,000 honeybees. I'm not quite sure how they managed to count them all. But anyway, we'll take his word for it. And then Entomological Acoustics, recordings by D.R. Ragg and W.J. Reynolds, which is also a cricket-based track.
Thank you.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.